It's always a pleasure to talk with Sergeant Betsy Brantler Smith, spokeswoman with the National Police Association. As law and order is among the top one, two, or three items in everyone's mind these days. How you doing, Betsy? Thanks for being with me.
Hey, I'm doing great, and it's fantastic to be with you, as always.
Well, I saw a thing about that you're sort of worked up over unsolved crimes, especially murders. And I wanted you to talk about that, but also about what appears to be a rise in citizen vigilanteism. But let's start with a story that we saw in the Daily Mail about unsolved murders that are set to reach record highs in U.S. cities this year. I mean, it just seems we go from bad to worse in terms of our law and order in this country. What's going on?
Well, you're right. You know, so in my my native Chicago, we've got a really low clearance rate on homicides. The average, you know, the national average for murders cleared is about 50%. So Chicago is lower than that. Oakland, California is about 36%. You know, and now, of course, we get compared to Europe sometimes, and they have a high clearance rate. They also have much lower murder rates. But the problem that we have, for example, that European countries don't have is they don't have the vilification and demonization of law enforcement for the last 3 years. And in fact, law enforcement in America is a profession that has really been decimated. You know, so many police departments are incredibly shorthanded. Chicago is one of them. New York, L.A., Portland, Seattle, Austin, Texas. I could go on and on. And when you lose police officers and you can't get new ones, you not just lose a warm body on the street patrolling, you lose experience. And you need the most experienced police officers in any agency to be those homicide detectives. So that's one part of it. The other part is just because of this vilification and demonization of law enforcement, people who have witnessed these homicides are not cooperating with law enforcement. And in some cities, again, like Chicago, the street gangs are so much more powerful than the police officers are. And so nobody is going to rat out, if you will, somebody who did a drive-by shooting because they themselves or their children or their grandma or whoever are going to be the next victims. So, you know, it's a real problem, and but it's self-created in a large perspective. It's also very solvable.
Well, it sounds to me like even though it seems there are multiple spokes from the hub, the hub in general is just a lack of support, both in terms of numbers to recruit police officers, but also to retain them. Is there really that means that those people that get a good, the longer you're on the beat, I guess you get a sense of this. And then when you aspire to be a detective, that makes you one super sleuth, right? But are a lot of people exiting the profession before they get a chance to get that experience on the one hand, and not being allowed to enter it because of numbers on the other? Is that a big problem? Is that a hub?
You're absolutely correct. You know, it takes, I mean, I was a detective and a detective sergeant. You know, they didn't take me out of the police academy and make me a detective. I needed, you know, experience on the street, experience on, you know, doing different assignments. That's very, very typical. But now what we're seeing in cities around the country is, you know, when you don't have enough police officers to answer those emergency calls, those beat calls, you're going to have to take them out of specialty units. And that includes investigations, detectives. So, for example, here where I live in Tucson, Arizona, reports that a detective would ordinarily follow up on, they're not even assigned to anybody. It's serious crimes like burglaries, things like that. Every police department in this country has to prioritize. Now, is homicide a priority? Absolutely. But if you're detective or detectives working the homicide has nowhere to go. In other words, no witnesses, no cooperation from the neighbors. From, remember, in a lot of these urban areas, there's no cooperation from the victim's family. Because it's all street gang related, so they're not going to cooperate. We've had infamously, we have had the tiny children, babies of gang members murdered in Chicago, and the parent gang member refused to cooperate. You know, that's part of the reason we have such a low clearance rate.
Talking with Betsy Brantner-Smith from the National Police Association, who has really done, as far as I can tell, you've done almost every job. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever, have you cleaned the bathroom and, you know, sent out the mail as a police officer?
Actually,
I can't believe your resume.
Actually, I have done both of those things. I had a really wonderful career.
You've got a wide spectrum of reference in terms of some of the problems facing us with crime in this country. I'm sure you're familiar with the New York City subway story that's made the national headlines, where this very troubled individual was assaulting people in the subway, and the ex-Marine puts him in a chokehold, and the medical examiner has ruled it. I guess there was some help from other passengers. He lost consciousness, was taken to the hospital, he died. It's been ruled a homicide. Now, I think it's interesting. I heard one of the national commentators on one of the feeds say, hey, homicide doesn't mean it's a murder. It's going to be charged with murder. That's just a medical determination. I think a lot of people may
that's
not
correct.
Realize.
Just,
yeah, I don't think a lot of folks realize
that. People need to understand. Yeah, just because a homicide just means that you didn't die of natural causes and you didn't kill yourself. So any you know, death at the hands of another is a homicide. That doesn't mean murder. But this situation in New York, there was a young Marine, rumored to be father of the son of a police officer in New York, although that has been confirmed. And then two other passengers helped contain an apparently mentally ill, violent man. Who had been arrested 42 times. And in fact, very recently before this incident, he had beaten up a 67-year-old woman, broke her eye socket. There were other people who came forward and said, this guy last week tried to push me onto the train tracks. I mean, this is a guy, he's been, been arrested 42 times, should probably be in an institution. Mm-hmm. But when this occurred, largely because he is African-American and the Marine, one of the three people that helped contain him or control him, the young Marine was Caucasian. So Black Lives Matter decided to get up off the couch and come out of their mansions and get involved in this case. And frankly, we find it abhorrent. You know, let's let the investigation play out. But there is no indication that this is a racial crime. And there's no indication that this mentally ill, violent individual was just sitting there and randomly attacked by a young white man. In fact, quite the opposite.
Yeah. But I think it brings up, the details will, of course, be the devil, right? We'll have to figure out, whether is this going to turn into an over-aggressive restraint by a civilian? And I guess it'll be an interesting legal question. Does a civilian get a break if they don't know how to put on a safe chokehold? But, on the other hand, they're protecting, their fellow passengers. But we had the story of the elderly man in Kansas City, and then another one, I believe it was in New Jersey, who shot the young man who knocked on the door, or didn't knock on the door, but was at the wrong address. At least that's what he said. And then the young woman who was killed because she pulled into the wrong driveway, allegedly. But there just seems to be a rise in citizen vigilantes. A good thing, bad thing, symptom of a larger problem? What's going on?
Well, it is definitely a symptom of a larger problem. People are really on edge, and they're not sure that the police are going to be there to protect them. And that's a problem. You know, the United States of America, our The way that we live life in America is basically by a gentleman's agreement. You and I agree to not attack each other on the street. I don't steal your stuff. You don't steal my stuff. And we're going to all live in harmony because of the written law. So when the written law is violated, presumably I steal your stuff. I go to jail for stealing your stuff. That's no longer happening in a big part of America. And we're also seeing, and we go back to the subway in New York, you see these videos all the time of people being attacked on the subway. Nobody steps in, nobody helps. So people are on edge. So they are starting to take matters into their own hands. And I mean, this happens every day in this country where, a citizen protects themselves. It's just that the cases you're talking about right now have made the media largely because of race. The young man in Kansas City was African-American. He was shot, not killed, by an elderly white man. That elderly white man is being charged with attempted murder. And the young African-American man, who appears to have done nothing wrong, is getting invited to the White House by Joe Biden. Now, this young white woman who was killed, I haven't heard Joe Biden even mention her. So, and this is what helps put people on edge, is they see an inequity in our system, an inequity not just by the justice system itself, but by politicians, you know, by political leadership, by the media. And that's what's happening in some of these cases. And that helps put people on edge.
And I know that police officers generally would rather have us call them. They're the professionals in dealing with these. But it's that conundrum that someone might, well, unfortunately, find themselves in, where I'm in a crisis situation. What do I do? I guess the best advice is, if you can, run. But if you can't, I don't know. It's tough. And that's why that Second Amendment is so important. I mean, you read the NRA Chronicles and other, Second Amendment defense organizations, and they're replete with one after another where the Second Amendment really did help save someone's life or their property, right? Because the gun was there.
And I mean, the National Police Association, we are the most pro Second Amendment police organization in this country. You know, you always hear a lot, the police want more gun control. No, police leaders want more gun control, largely police chiefs. Sheriffs, that's a whole different deal. But the National Police Association, we encourage people to get trained and arm themselves if they so desire. But we also talk a lot about, I just talked yesterday on another show where we were talking about, how do you prevent carjacking? Because carjacking is another one of those crimes that is just going crazy. And so there's things that people can do to help protect themselves. Now, if the wrong person comes to your front door, what do? Call 911, get away from the front door, right? You know, don't start shooting people, obviously. But, like this subway situation, calling 911 when you're riding the subway in New York isn't going to do a whole lot until maybe there's a cop at the next station. Yeah. And why? Because there's not a lot of transit police anymore in New York, and NYPD is about 4,000 cops short. So again, it all circles back to 3 years of this ridiculous social experiment of, let's vilify cops, stop putting people in prison, and just let the homeless and the drug and the mentally addled run our streets.
Before we let you go, I'm going to invite you to have a virtual Cinco de Mayo celebration with me. I'll buy the mezcal or tequila, whatever you like, and I'll drink whatever I like, in celebrating Kim Gardner announcing she's going to resign as the circuit attorney in St. Louis, one of the highest homicide rates, if not the highest, in the country. That has to make you feel good on this Cinco de Mayo.
I am lifting a glass right now in celebration of not only Cinco de Mayo, but Kim Fox, Kim Gardner. I'm hoping Kim Fox in Cook County is next, but Kim Gardner resigning. And why did she resign? Because she felt the pressure. And you know what? This is what every county and every state needs to do. You know, we did it in San Francisco with George Gass, that's L.A., with Chesa Boudin. And now we've got a slightly more moderate prosecutor in San Francisco. And now hopefully we'll get a better prosecutor in St. Louis County. We need to do this in L.A. and Cook County and Manhattan. And I could go on and on and on. Yeah. I think America is winning with news like this.
We the people need to push back. And it's with your help and the help of the National Police Association, which you can learn more about on Twitter at Nat Police Assos, and on the web, Betsy?
And nationalpolice.org. See all the cool stuff that we are doing. There's hope. It's a really optimistic site. Lots of great articles.
That's great. And and again, people need to stay active and they need to be vocal and all right. It's always great to get together with you. Have a fabulous weekend. Thanks for being with me.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Same to you. Sergeant Betsy Brandner-Smith.